Good day, good night, and welcome to World Cup Today / Soccer Today. A little taste of soccer today. That's what we usually cover here on World Cup Today. No games yesterday. Dwayne Rollins on the line as well with myself, Kevin Laramie. We will talk about a bit of our respective team that we cover in Major League Soccer. We'll take an overview of the league. But first of all, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm almost gonna be. I'm almost sad now that we only have another week left of daily coverage. It's gonna be another 2 years before we're back into that range, and that's terrifying to even think about 2 years ahead right now. I guess we'll do some coverage of the Women's World Cup next summer, but it probably won't justify daily coverage, and you'll be away for part of it, so we'll have to figure that out. But
I'll be in Portugal because I'm getting married during the Women's World Cup. It was not my choice, but the date was my choice, but happenstance, right? So I'll be in my honeymoon. Well, that's enough personal talk about me. Yes, you're right, Dwayne. It has been gone quickly, and the beginning of soccer today, the Daily Show, was the Euro, and the Euro in France 2 years ago. So maybe 2 years ahead is not as far as it used to be, because remember, we covered Sochi. You're like, oh, maybe we'll make it to Pyeongchang. We did, and we're just plowing through now.
Yeah, we might do some, not maybe daily, but close to daily during the Gold Cup next summer as well. Gold Cup, anyway, we're here to talk about MLS. I'm just hesitating to talk about it, because I've used over the last year the entire time of daily coverage of talking about TFC and Barcelona of MLS, and they're more like the Espanol of MLS right now.
Yes, Dwayne's in transit, as you can hear. So we'll make do with what we have for today. But Dwayne's right. TFC, the defending champions, twice MLS Cup finalists, and they won the second time. And I guess the hungover was a bit harder than anticipated. And every single week, every single defeat, that adds to the pressure and to the now maybe difficult job to make it into a playoff spot, especially when direct rivals like Montreal has had their best month of June maybe ever, with three straight shutouts, two goals conceded only in the entire month of June, and one of those goals was offside and the other one was an own goal. So basically Montreal did not concede a goal in June.
No, and that was something that was a problem before the World Cup. Toronto FC, you mentioned a hangover effect, and I don't really like that term, because that implies something mental, and I don't think there's anything mental here. I think really, if you look at TFC, there's no mystery to why they're not winning. They're missing not just a lot of players, they're missing key players in key positions. Drew Moore has been out, Josie Altidore has been out since the end of the CCL run. Mavinga has barely played this year. Mavinga was tipped to be a possible Defender of the Year candidate. Those are their two central defenders, their two best central defenders out of this lineup. Josie Altidore is a player that opens up space for so many other of Toronto's skill players. Victor Vazquez has been out for long chunks of this season. It's really been falling upon like a select couple players, like Michael Bradley, who is exhausted because he's basically played 22 of the last 24 months.
Yeah,
and that's without a stop.
That includes the qualification process for the United States last year that did not end well. So an emotional roller coaster as much as a physical toll that has been taken on players like Bradley.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of fans that are fanning right now and that are demanding wholesale changes, to which, you know, pump the brakes, people, and take a step back and remember what TFC did wrong for 10 plus years. That's the real big deal, is the bloody big screw up that they were for 10 years, right? And a lot of that was based on their constant turnover. Someone asked me during the Minnesota game, you know, what are we going to do? And my response, which got a lot of traction on Twitter, was nothing. There's nothing to do. If you full scale panic and start like moving players or bringing in new players or firing the coaching staff, God forbid, you're not going to help. All it's going to do is exasperate the current problem. The only thing you can do if you're a TFC fan, and this is not something a fan wants to hear, because they want to hear solutions. They don't want to hear about patience. They want to hear about solutions now. But the solution now is patience. And it may not work. They may be too far in this hole right now. They may miss the playoffs. And that, you know, I think might be the best thing to happen for 2019. because it will give them a nice long rest and allow them to evaluate what key positions they do need to address, you know, because they are getting into older cases. And will allow them to bounce back to what Dallas is doing this year, right? So there is, you know, that's a real, talk about silver linings, but that said, they're only 8 points back of the sixth place.
Yeah.
Sixth is not an ideal place to finish, but I would hardly say that with the talent they do have when fully healthy, that closing 8 points on Philadelphia is that, you know, that crazy of a thought, right?
No, exactly, and it's Chicago's in sixth position right now with 23 points, followed by Montreal in seventh with 21, and Philadelphia 21. They got Orlando 19 and TFC at 15. Bottom dwellers, DC United at 11. That's a pre-Rooney era and pre-Audi Field. We'll see if the new stadium and the new superstar changes anything for DC United. I doubt their hole is pretty deep too, just like TFC. But you're right, 8 points. Josie eventually might be back if the rumors are going to China are not true, which I don't believe they are, because it's why exactly. Well, we said the same thing with other players, and they're going there anyway. So we'll see. I don't think Josie's going anywhere. But for Toronto, the thing is, team like Montreal are starting to at least get things together. And defensively, we've talked quickly about it, that Montreal has been the best defense in Major League Soccer in June. And this result is not a stranger to the presence of Rod Fenny, who might be right now the best center back in the league as we speak. His influence with Montreal, Dwayne, has been amazing. His reassuring presence, his calming presence in the back line, mixed with the rise of Rudy Camacho, and you'll have Kyle Fisher coming back and Zakaria Diallo. So we're finally going to have maybe a month's time the defense that we thought Montreal would have 6 months ago. Adding Rod Fenny, a player that just re-signed a brand new contract for, it was only a 6 month period, it was an emergency contract. He signed a new one to finish the season with an option on the player for 2019. So when you're looking at the Montreal Impact defense, yeah, at least they've able to right the ship, and now they've found a great direction for the ship, and the ship is picking up speed.
Well, yeah, we've talked about many times before, too, that Montreal is primarily trying to build towards 2019 more than this current season. That said, you don't want to give up on any season that you're in, particularly Major League Soccer, because once you get into that second season, that playoff round, then anything is possible. And, of course, both Canadian teams also have the Voyageurs Cup upcoming very shortly, where, you know, they have an opportunity to win a CCL spot, and that's important to all three teams, all three MLS teams. Well, I shouldn't exclude the Fury in this as well. They're important to all teams in that competition. So there is still a lot to play. Canadian Championship is going to be fascinating. You know, TFC at the start of the year, we would have just kind of went, yeah, it's probably theirs. But now, the way they're playing right now, I don't think you can take anything for granted. Hell, they probably have to play their starters to pass out a lot. So we'll see. But, yeah. You know, last thought on TFC, then we'll move forward to Montreal. The Seattle Sounders, I keep doing that lately. The Sounders, yeah, I thought it was calling the Seahawks again. Anyway, I'm walking, sorry. The Sounders were 21 points back of the playoffs at one point that season. They got it down to something like two in a month. On the 26th of July in 2016, the year they won the MLS Cup, they were outside the playoff spot.
Yeah.
It's a long year, and I mean, it's not the way that they would have penciled this out at the start of the year, but it is what it is. And all they can do is get healthy and hope. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, exactly. And calling for Vanny's head will not fix anything. But speaking of manager, I'm actually starting to really like what Rémi Garde has been doing with Montreal. We've talked about it all season long. We've seen great moments where Rémi Garde, who is the new coach of the Montreal Impact for the 2018 season, if you are not aware, if you're a brand new listener, former coach of Lyon, of course, and of Aston Villa in the Premier League. Maybe he doesn't want me to mention Aston Villa. I don't think no one wants to remember that moment. But Rémi Garde has been able to be influential in his team tactics now, in how the team sets up and how they react in the presence of Samuel Piette, who's playing out of his mind. He'll be fine, just a small injury. Last Saturday, he should play tomorrow night against Colorado at home. But the fact that the Montreal Impact are able to string wins together to keep defensively sound and to score a goal or two when needed, not just relying on Piatti anymore, having Piatti surrounded and Piatti part of the team, which 2 months ago, with all the rumors, maybe it wasn't the case. Now this team, after the moment of Joey Saputo's comments and the controversy that arose in the media a month and a half ago, after that big moment, it seems to me that this team rallied together behind a common goal. And we're seeing the results of this common goal right now. And I am actually impressed by the progression. It's not a finished product, and Montreal will look a lot different going forward, especially depending on what type of team they play against. Like, you're playing against Orlando, you let the ball to Orlando, you gave him enough rope that you know what he could do with it, and you got the ball at the right moment, and counter, and you scored, and you won 2 games in a row against Orlando, got their coach fired. You did the same against Kansas City. The thing is, Colorado will not want the ball tomorrow, so that will be a different looking game.
Speaking of Orlando, do you remember the start of the season when I picked them at the bottom and all the Orlando fans said that I was stupid? Anyway.
Yeah, didn't they start like 6 win in a row this year too? And then all downhill from there.
Yeah, no, because there's something fundamentally flawed with how Orlando is trying. Nonetheless, and I know it when I see it because I covered it first grade for 10 years, which we've spoken of a couple times in this. But to get back to Montreal, yeah, you mentioned the comments by Saputo and sort of that, like, you know, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. I want to play here. Piatti comments from just before the World Cup, just before we flipped the page and totally focused on the international game for the most part of the last month. That was kind of the last conversation we had about it, and then things turned around. So is it just a coincidence? In your mind, you sort of reflected on it before. Is it just a coincidence, or is there something to that? Is there some real rallying point there? Or is it just, as I said, just kind of this happened?
I think Dwayne is stuck in a windstorm, so we'll hope that he's okay. But no, I agree. And when you look at this entire team and everything that happened over the last few months, you do feel that those are a growing aspect of not just the team. It's a bunch of new players, not as much as we would like, and there will be a big turnover in the next few weeks, if not few months, in the next offseason. Players like Dominic Augereau, which we will not see on the pitch from Montreal for the next few months, will probably have a new home or find ways to get out of his contract. Those little decisions will have an effect on the shape of the roster going forward. But at least Rémi Gallant slowly starting to trust some of his bench players, sometimes by necessity. Look, Shamit Schoen got 60 minutes of play, but the 60 minutes of play last game was because of Samuel Piette's injury. At least sub one Canadian out for another Canadian. I was happy about that. And the fact that Rémi Gallant gave a lot of praise for Shamit Schoen's performance in the Toulon U20 tournament in France, which tells me that Rémi Gallant pays a lot of attention to what's going on, first of all, especially with his academy and with his team. And we've seen Rémi Gallant be involved and be that educator that sometimes we need, and we forget that it's a part of the manager's role, not just to manage, not just to coach, not just to put places and change shapes and yell at players. Sometimes the educator role in Major League Soccer is underrated.
Oh, sure. I mean, that educator role, as you say, is something that I think a lot of MLS fans don't want to sort of face up to. And it comes down to that, you know, most overrated, underrated comment that I consistently make. There is still a lot of learning that happens in Major League Soccer, and there still is a lot of shaping that can happen at the managerial level. And that's a key component to anyone you hire there. It's why when Vieira was hired by NYCFC, I was one of the few voices that were saying, no, I think this is a great hire for them. Because a lot of people were like, oh, he's just coached Aston City. He's only coached youth players. Like, yeah, but that's kind of what you mean. He's coaching like 3 or 5 youth players who come to him. He coaches MLS players. It's the same deal. They're needing to teach a lot. They have to teach the management. So in that way, Vieira was a perfect mix for them. But yeah, it's the same in Montreal now. You have a guy that can teach, and you have a guy that has a name and has a reputation. Like, any kind of reputation in Europe is better than none when it comes to attracting players, because, you know, with all due respect to TFC, to go back to them, like, who's Greg Vanney to a lot of these guys if they don't have a direct relationship? Maybe some people in France remember him, but by and large, not really, right? So that advantage is something key and something you have to work on.
And we'll see what Patrick Vieira does with Nice next year. Patrick Vieira, the new head coach of Nice in the Ligue 1 in France. And Dominique Thauran, you know, replace a Frenchman by another Frenchman. Why not? You know, keep the continuity going for NYCFC. So that Jason Christ, by the way, lost his job since we've talked about last time about MLS in Orlando, replaced by James O'Connor, former Louisville FC coach, won USL Cup a few years ago. And for this, yes, it might have been a shocking move to see a USL coach take over in Orlando. But if you go and look at the reputation of James O'Connor, a workhorse, a coach that will be the first in, last out, 17 hours in the stadium if he needs to, coaching, teaching, educating his roster. And, well, where Orlando was, where Orlando is, and where they were going, maybe it was the right decision.
Yeah, as I mentioned, there's something fundamentally wrong with how Orlando has been run. And I know Orlando fans don't want to hear that because they kind of have a passionate owner. They have a passionate fan base for sure. But they're making, not to belabor this, but they're making a lot of the same mistakes. And not just TFC, but all the teams that have struggled for years and years and years have made. Philly as well. Philly's problem has to do with spending too. But Orlando certainly does not. But it's painfully obvious from the outside. And I don't think necessarily making a coaching change there is going to matter much if the underlying philosophies behind that club don't change. So we'll watch that one with interest. Yeah, lots gone on in MLS. It's hard to sort of summarize it in one fell swoop. And for our Vancouver listeners, we are planning to get a Vancouver-specific guest. It's just been too difficult for us to follow MLS the way that we usually do during the month of the World Cup. So we will be getting a Vancouver expert in to talk about the Whitecaps and what they're doing, what they've been doing over the past month. But, I think that by and large, if you look at what we talked about in the lead up to the World Cup, our last soccer today and what we're talking about today, it's if you want to go into trending, Kevin is trending up, I am trending down, and Vancouver's trending probably sideways. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. Let's just quickly take a look at the Western Conference standings before we wrap up for today. Again, apologies for a little shorter show. We'll be back tomorrow with a full World Cup today with the review of France. And, of course, Uruguay this morning, Brazil, Belgium this afternoon, a spot in the semifinal up for grabs in those two games. And we'll review those in the morning before we get ready to go watch England and be nervous as you know what. FC Dallas now top of the Western Conference, followed by Kansas City, LAFC, Real Salt Lake, Portland Timbers, and the Vancouver Whitecaps in sixth position. Dynamo, LA Galaxy, Minnesota United, Seattle Sounders, and bottom of the Western Conference, Colorado, and San Jose Earthquake. San Jose are, yeah. Speaking of teams that were not trending in the right direction and what's going on, San Jose, ever since they got their new stadium, seems like, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, we go into that, like, splits in MLS velocities, the divide, how when MLS 3.0 starts out, you have a divide between the top and the bottom, and it's spreading based on the wealth. But then, it's a very fine line in Major League Soccer. Not to steal Carl Robinson's lines there, but it's a fine line between winning and losing. Toronto's illustrating that right now. You lose four or five players, and from one of the deepest teams, quote unquote, in MLS history, if not the deepest, they're still going to struggle. So, fine lines, as we say. Kevin, before we go, I did want to, there is that Ronaldo, the Juve rumor that's out there floating around for getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
I have a theory on it. I kind of like it. I think it makes a lot of sense, but I'm curious to get your take.
Just before you mention your theory, let's put facts out there so people understand what's going on. A week and a half ago, Real Madrid changed the release clause of Ronaldo from $1 billion to 125 million euros. So that's a big difference here. There's a big, big incentive now for a team who can afford Ronaldo to go buy him because he's a lot cheaper than he was. And if you look at the prices of players, of Mbappe, of all that, well, 125 million for a 33-year-old Ronaldo, if I had that kind of money, I would do it tomorrow morning. Like, I would do it yesterday. And if you just look at Juve shares, since the beginning of those rumors, I've raised by 20%, and the value of the club has gone from 400 to 600 million dollars euros. So just with the rumors, Juventus has already benefited from the Ronaldo effect.
Yeah, there could be something to that. No one is denying this the same way that Mbappe stuff is being denied, right? So I tend to think that when there's smoke, there's fire and stuff like this, and it makes a lot of sense from both the Juve perspective where they have, and Serie A is a league that older players have thrived in too, so it's not the 33 is going to be considered that old then. It also makes sense from Real Madrid perspective, as silly as that sounds, because he's 33, and this is a team that needs to reinvest heavily constantly. So having that kind of cashing in when he's probably at his highest value, and I think he probably is at his peak value right now. Maybe it would have been a couple of years ago more, obviously, but in terms of what they're going to get, it's going to trend down from this point forward. I think it makes a lot of sense, and you know, from his perspective, he played a couple of years in Italy. His buddy David Beckham, isn't he starting a team somewhere that's kind of considered nice? You take your talents there, maybe.
Ronaldo already has a house in Miami, so the stretch is not that big. You know, the leap of faith is not that big to take. 2 years in Italy, you win two Scudettos with Juve, and maybe you finally break Juve's spell of in the Champions League, and you win the Champions League, and then move to MLS, and maybe that does make sense, but... You're right, though. No one would have paid the $1 billion release clause. So just the fact that Real Madrid lowered it to 125, and then we remembered the end of the Champions League final when Ronaldo mentioned, it was nice playing here. I'll talk about my future later, but it was nice playing here. It kind of all adds up now.
Yeah, and look, a lot of people assume he might have United back on their mind.
No.
Manchester United does have some financial responsibilities that don't get spoken of a lot. Their ownership structure isn't going to allow them to throw around, you know, unlimited funds, even though they generate a lot in the way that maybe they might have in the past, or that other clubs like PSG can, or even City across the road can. There is, I think, it always is a bit of a fan service that Ronaldo was going to go back to United. This does make a lot of sense. I wouldn't peg it, but the more I hear about it, the more I can see him in those black and white stripes next year.
Yes, and we'll keep an eye on that story for you. We'll be back with some more soccer today. Next week, when on break from the World Cup, we'll talk about soccer today. But tomorrow, we're back with World Cup today. And as always, you can follow Dwayne on Twitter and on social media at 24th Minute. Myself, at Kev Larme. This show is brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. Get your 15% discount and your World Cup-inspired collection before it's too late at sportsinspired.ca. And for our French listeners who like cycling, my new French cycling show is out. I suggest you take a look. It was a lot of fun, and we're going for a ride around France starting tomorrow, but that's for another day, for tomorrow. And as always, I'm Kevin Larame for Dwayne Rollins. Until next time, have a great soccer.